Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice of whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. As we near the end of the book of Hebrews, we come to a pinnacle passage. He has been building up to this crescendo, to this climax. And this passage that we just read really serves as a summary of everything that the author of Hebrews has been arguing for. The author of Hebrews has made sure of this, if nothing else, that Jesus is better. He is better than the prophets. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Joshua. Jesus is better than the high priest. Jesus is a better sacrifice. Jesus offers a better and new covenant. He has better promises. He's a better tabernacle. He's a better high priest, a better sacrifice who offers his people a better hope, better possessions, and a better country. And the author of Hebrews is going to do it once again, as he is going to show that Jesus Christ and the new covenant is better than Moses and the old covenant. And he will do that by comparing, by using this language, this illustration of two mountains that represent each covenant. Mount Sinai, that represents the old covenant and the law, and Mount Zion, that represents the new covenant and grace. Mount Sinai representing the old, and Mount Zion representing the new. And we will be confronted with the question then, how does God accept us? How can we dare approach God? And when we approach God, how do we know he will accept us? As we all will stand before him on a last day, you and I will stand before a holy God at the end of our life in front of the gaze of an all-knowing, all-perfect, all-powerful, holy God. And how will he accept me standing there? How will I approach him? How will I be accepted? And he says there's two ways in which you can approach this God. You can approach him through Mount Sinai, through the law, through your own efforts, through your own morality, through your own self-perceived righteousness, or you can approach him through Mount Zion, through Jesus Christ, his Son, who has sufficiently paid for all our sins that make us acceptable to God. And these two approaches will be represented by these two mountains. And for us as the new covenant people of God, this passage is simply going to be a gospel reminder that we never approach God in our own righteousness, our own strength. We never have, we never should, and we never will. We approach God simply on the sufficient merits and blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we approach this God, our the one true God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, we receive an unshakable kingdom. And in response, we offer reverent worship to the God who saved us. And so you see in verses 18 through 20, you see him present Mount Sinai. He says, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, a darkness and a gloom and a tempest." Verse 19, he goes on, says, "The sound of the trumpet and a voice of whose words may the hearers beg that no further message be given." You see in verses 18, 19, and through 21 that he is recounting for us this most famous event, one of the pinnacle events of redemptive history, where God gives his law, God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, the people of Israel, at Mount Sinai. And when he does it, you see that the gloom, the clouds, blazing fire, trumpet sound, he gave orders. Moses feared him. He even said that God is so holy on this mountain, as he gave his righteous law, that even if some of your animals touch the mountain, they shall be put to death. That is how holy God is, as how righteous his laws are. He says, not only you, but even your livestock, if it comes close to this mountain and touches this mountain, that's blazing fire with trumpet sound and dark and gloom, you shall be put to death. You see that recounting in Exodus 19 and 20, where he sets limits for his people in verse 12 through 13. He says, take care, back in Exodus 19, not to go up the mountain, not to touch it, not to what? Approach this mountain, or you shall surely be put to death. No hand, no beast shall live. He goes on to say, the trumpet sounds, all the people in the camp are trembling. They took and stood foot at the base of the mountain, and the mountain, Mount Sinai, was wrapped in smoke. This is verses 16 through 20 of Exodus 19, wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down to the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up, and Moses came back trembling with fear. We are all too familiar with God giving the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. That is the law he gave. And the author of Hebrews, he recounts these events. What's the point that he is making? Talking about approaching God through the old covenant. Remember, there was even a 3-day cleansing and prepping process before they could even come even in the vicinity of the mountain. And yet they still were not clean enough. They still were not pure enough to go and touch the mountain. The only reason that Moses could go up is because Moses was called up by God and he was a mediator and representative of his people. But not the people. They were not pure enough to even approach the mountain. What he's saying is that Mount Sinai, it represents the old covenant. And what is the argument he's been making throughout the whole book of Hebrews? Is the old covenant is not sufficient to save you from your sins. It only leads you to condemnation. And he's making this point and drawing out this point that they couldn't even get near Mount Sinai because God is so holy, so glorious, and so consuming. That is how holy and majestic God is. They could not approach him any way that they wanted to. And we cannot approach a holy, majestic, righteous, just, eternal God any way that we want to. We can't just casually sashay into his presence trying to be clothed in our own righteousness. Because if we do, we will be consumed. We will surely die. We can't even come close to this God. I mean, do we realize how holy God is, that we cannot go to God in any way and draw near to his presence in any way, especially in our own strength? He's too magnificent. He's too holy. He's too glorious. And if you draw close to him in your own doing and in your own merits, you will be killed. You will be destroyed. You will be consumed. See, all the visual scenes of smoke and rolling and roaring thunder is all telling people, as they encountered God on Mount Sinai, as they begged him not to even speak, but to remain silent, for they feared him. It is precisely God's holiness that kept them away. That your sin, my sin, against an infinitely holy and righteous God makes him inaccessible and unapproachable for us. We can't go to God in our own merits and in our own strength. He will not even look upon sin. We have such low views of God. We've created a God made in our own image. Some domesticated deity that's helpless and weak, that's tossed and turned at our own whims. A God who would change, a puny God that has no power, that has no knowledge, that has no justice, no righteousness, no wrath, no fury, no anger. But that is not the God of the Bible. The God is righteously angry at sin and the sinner. And make no mistake, there is no sin in his presence. And if there is no sin in his presence, there is no sinner in his presence. There's no unrighteousness found in God. There is no weakness found in God. We cannot go into his presence. He's too transcendent, too majestic, too just, too perfect, too infinite, too jealous for his own glory. 1 Timothy says, he alone has immortality, who dwells in inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. He is the one that deserves all honor and all glory. He exists in unapproachable majesty. And we think we can go to God any way that we want to? Because this is what the first mountain is like. If you want to approach God on the basis of the law and on the basis of the old covenant, you shall surely die. He's reminding them. Remember, his congregation that he's preaching to and writing to, they want to go back to what? They want to go back to the old covenant. They want to forsake the new because of pressures and persecutions and trials. Like, let's just go back to Judaism and the old covenant. He says, if you go back and you go to that mountain and you approach God in that way, you shall surely die. Because in the old covenant, there's not a once and for all sacrifice for sins. Mount Sinai, the law, it only reveals sin to us. Romans 3:20 says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. None. Not by the works of Mount Sinai will you or I ever be justified in the sight of God. And he says, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Knowledge of sin, but no remedy for it. For the wages of sin is death. And in the old covenant, you only have knowledge of your sin. You are only a sinner. You cannot keep the law. You will not be justified in his sight. And he says, so for the wages of sin is death, because God is holy. You are not, and you can't approach him in your sin. You have no mediation. You have no sacrifice. You have no way to approach an inapproachable God. We will never be good enough, pure enough, holy enough, moral enough, strong enough to ever approach God in this way. No matter what we try to do, no matter what we try to not do, approaching God by simply keeping His law will only lead to death. No one has kept His law. And if you break one, you broke them all. I mean, you get to the law that He gave at Mount Sinai. We don't have to go through the list, but have you coveted? Have you ever wanted something that wasn't yours? Dead. Have you ever lied? Dead. You ever lusted in your heart? Dead. Dead in sins and trespasses. And then yet we still so often try to climb Mount Sinai through keeping of the law. He says the law will only kill you because you can't keep it. And the wages of sin is death. You'll only wind up dead approaching God through the law. So that's one mountain. That's Mount Sinai. The mount of the law, keeping the law, the old covenant to approach God. See, there's only one way to approach God and be safe. He goes in verses 22 through 24. But you have come. Remember, he is talking to the church. You have come. Not to Mount Sinai, but to where? Mount Zion. His have come. A present reality. A truth that resonates with all the hearts of those that are in Jesus Christ. That this is true of his church. We have come to Mount Zion. He said, look, there's another mount in which you can climb to get to God. And he explains what Mount Zion is. He says, to the city of the living God in verse 22, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits made righteous, made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, whose blood speaks a better word than that of Abel's. We've come to another mount. We don't have to stand at the base of Mount Sinai, hopeless, doomed, and damned. Mount Sinai points us to another mount, Zion, that represents the new covenant. That says, this is how you can come to God. This is how you can approach God. And he says to the church, this is where you have come to. You don't stand at the base of Sinai. You stand at the base of Zion. And at the top of the mount is a blood-stained cross shed for sinners. It says, and that is the way you can approach God and be safe and secure. Because we, through Mount Zion, do not approach Him through law and law-keeping. We approach Him through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who perfectly fulfilled the law that we might be righteous. That he who knew no sin might become sin, so we can become the righteousness of God. I mean, notice the contrast between Zion and Sinai. He says, you've not come. Listen, you've not come to Sinai. You've come to Zion. And Sinai, you see, it's terrifying noise. It's trumpets blasting. It's people carried out in fear. Zion is the joyful praise of angels. Sinai, a trembling congregation. Zion, an assembly enrolled in heaven. Zion is not a place of gloom and darkness. Zion is a place of joy and light. A city, the city of God. The city of the living God, where Christ's blood speaks a better word. The only confidence that you and I have to approach God and be accepted by God, to know that my sins have been fully, finally, and freely forgiven, my conscience cleansed, that there's no condemnation for me on the horizon. The only way I can know that is in Jesus Christ. And he is not found on Mount Sinai. Jesus Christ is found at Mount Zion in the new covenant. That is where your eyes must look. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there was the blood of the Lamb spilt. He's warning his congregation. Those tempted to run back to Zion, the law, the sacrificial system. He's telling them and he's telling us, don't climb Sinai, climb Zion. And how often do our hearts still want to climb the mountain of the law? To think some way, somehow, that makes us acceptable to God. So many people also say, like, I feel so far from God. Well, maybe the reason you feel far from God is because you're trying to approach Him through Sinai, through your goodness, through your righteousness, through what you do. And we've never approached God that way. We've never been acceptable to God that way. The only way you can draw near to God and know Him and be pleased and satisfied, and He can be pleased and satisfied, is in the new covenant, in Mount Zion, in Jesus Christ. You've never approached God. You've never drawn near to God on the basis of what you do. I mean, as I look out to the congregation this morning, no one brought a lamb or a goat or a bull for us to sacrifice. They might do it at 11, but at 9 they haven't done it. No one entered with a grain offering. No one entered with a turtle dove for me to kill in front of you today. Why? Because you know in Christ and in the gospel, there is no sacrifice that will make you. There's no sacrifice that you can offer and that you can bring that would do anything to bring you closer to God. There is only one sacrifice, and it's through the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. We have an understanding that in the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs could never take away the guilt of sin. But Christ offered a single sacrifice once and for all that removed all the guilt, all the shame, and all the condemnation. We draw near to God confident, not that we have kept the law, that Christ has kept it for us. He has actually climbed Mount Sinai for us. And it's His righteousness. It's His blood. And so now I can come confidently to the throne of a holy and majestic and righteous God, knowing that He will not say, depart, but you are welcome here because of Christ, because I'm covered in Him. See, Mount Sinai, we couldn't draw near to God. But Mount Zion says God can be approached. Jesus made the way to God, into His presence, into His holy place. Remember, Jesus Christ has gone behind the veil, and the veil has been torn from top to bottom. He is the great high priest. He is the anchor that holds within the veil, and we are covered in His righteous robes. And because we're covered in the righteous robes of Christ, our great high priest and our sufficient sacrifice, we can draw near confidently because He has made the way to approach God, and He has made us acceptable to God. So we do not have to fear. We do not have to dread. We don't have to have this experience of being far from God, because we never got brought close to Him on the basis of what we do. We've always been brought near to Him on the basis of what Christ has done. Jesus is the way to the Father and the only way. Zion teaches us, the new covenant teaches us, that God now relates to sinful people through Jesus Christ. Zion is grace. It's atonement, it's forgiveness. He says, don't climb Sinai, it will kill you. Climb Calvary and live. And then so he goes on to application of this. In verses 25 through 29, he says, see, because we've not come to Sinai, we've come to Zion. He says, see, that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. Don't refuse Him who is speaking. And it is God speaking through Jesus Christ. And don't harden your heart. If you hear His voice, He says, for in verse 25, if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven? I mean, how much more will those who refuse the Son and the gospel be shaken? He says, at that time, his voice just shook the earth. But he says, in the second coming, his voice will shake the heavens. He will judge the earth. He will judge all. And he said, he, Jesus Christ, is the only hope for sinners. He is the only place in which we can put our trust. And notice, this is the same God. It is not like God was angry in the Old Testament and like nice in the New. He said, look, no, he said, there's still justice coming. There's still righteousness coming. Like, I'm not even, this next time, I'm not even going to shake the earth. He said, I'm going to shake heavens. The heavens I'm going to shake. So what must you do? See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, but find yourself safe and secure in Jesus Christ. There's only one safe place to hide when God's voice thunders from heaven and judges the earth. And the only safe place is in the cleft of Jesus Christ. It is in the rock of Jesus Christ. He is our only hiding place. He is our only safety. He is our only refuge. He is the hiding place. And that is why he goes on to say we have an unshakable kingdom. Because of why? In the judgment on the last day, he's going to shake heaven and earth with the judgment of his voice. But we are found in Christ. And because we're found in Christ, our kingdom will not be shaken because we're protected by the King. See, that is why it won't be shaken. Why? Because there is no judgment for us in Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for us in Jesus Christ. We are safe and secure and forever. We are accepted by God for all eternity. And so when his voice thunders from heaven to judge the earth, we are safe. He says, therefore, let us be grateful in verse 28. Let us be grateful. Why? Because we have received this unshakable kingdom. That is why. That you're safe in Christ. That's how confident you can be. You don't have to worry about the future outcome of your faith. If you are in Christ, when the fury of God's judgment comes, you won't even be shaken because you are in Christ. And he is the solid rock. He is where my hope is built. So we must put all our trust in him, transferring any trust we have in ourselves and put it upon Jesus Christ. And then, therefore, let us be grateful we've received an unshakable kingdom. Joy, gratefulness, thankfulness is the response of all those in Jesus Christ. And the only way we can have a response that is grateful and thankful and rejoicing is if we understand how doomed we are outside of Jesus Christ. And yet, even in my sin and in my deadness and in my unrighteousness, God sent his Son even while I was still yet a sinner and made me alive in Jesus Christ. And that is why I can offer worship and be grateful I have a kingdom that's not shaken. And then thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. I will revere him. I will be in awe of him. Why? Because he is still the same God. He is a consuming fire. And outside of Christ I am doomed and I am damned. But in Christ I am safe forever. And he says, thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe because God is a consuming fire. But because of Christ, he will not consume us. He will not condemn us because Christ took on our condemnation at the cross. He took on the consuming fire of God's wrath at the cross. And he died and he rose again. And so we are grateful, thankful, rejoicing that we have a kingdom that will not be shaken because this consuming fire, this God sent his Son on the behalf of sinners. See, Sinai is a picture of the unapproachability of God through the law and through the old covenant. And Zion is the picture of access that we have to God through Christ in the new covenant. And I approach this God with full confidence that He will not cast me out, not because of me, but all because of Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross that I cling. What a salvation. What a God. That God has done this for His people. What love is that? What love is that? That He would pluck you out of the vileness of your own sin, the wretchedness of your own heart, and give you new life, eternal life. And so our only response is grateful, thankful worship, and reverence, and our all a serious joy that this holy God will not consume me. My brother and sister, should this not absolutely change us? Don't feel the weight of your sin any longer. Christ bore your penalty. Christ bore your wrath. Hebrews 8, talking of the new covenant, says, "What? For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." In the gospel, remind yourself, in the gospel, Jesus has paid it all. And you're forgiven by a holy God. That is grace. That is good news. That a righteous, perfectly good God, on the basis and merits of His Son, would forgive lost and ruined sinners. And now the only response in our life is a serious joy, because our sins have been forgiven and God has been fully satisfied. So fall down, bow down, lift your hands, worship this God, a holy, perfect God, that it pleased Him to save you. To not say, "Don't approach me, but come to me." What a great privilege it is to be found in Jesus Christ. And my brother and my sister, in Christ, be reminded. I need to be reminded. You need to be reminded. You have a nearness and an intimacy with God in the new covenant. For Hebrews 8:11 says, "For they shall all know me." In Christ, you know God. You're not, He's not distant any longer. Draw near to Him through Zion. Draw near to Him through Mount Calvary. Draw near to Him through Christ. And enter into His presence boldly, confidently, fearlessly. See, the message of Sinai says, "Don't touch." The message of Sinai says, "Stay away. Do not come up this mountain, lest you be destroyed." And Mount Zion, Mount Calvary, the gospel says, "Come to me. Draw near to me." The gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ doesn't say, "Stay away." God says, "Draw near. Know me. Love me. Enjoy me forever." That's why Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace." Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." This is precisely the message of Christianity. You cannot draw near to God in and of yourself, but because of Christ and His grace, you can draw near to God in Him. You can know Him and love Him. Not your own doing, not your own strength. It's faith in Christ alone that your sins are forgiven and that your conscience is cleansed. You have all the righteousness that you need. And even the vilest offender who truly believes will receive this moment of pardon from Jesus Christ. That is also why He says in Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near Draw near. The gospel does not say stay away. The gospel bids you to come. To come, lost, weak, worried, ruined, damned sinner, and come to God through Christ and be saved. And so if you are not believing, if you've not drawn near to Christ, drawn near to God, I am not calling you this moment into something that is a place of dread. I'm calling you into something that is a place of joy. That you don't have to remain distant from God. You don't have to have God unknown to you. Regardless of where you've been, what you've done, God says, come to me. Know me. Worship me. Love me. This holy God invites you to draw near to him through his Son by faith alone in Christ alone. So you look not to, you don't look to Sinai. You look to Zion. You look to Jesus Christ. See, if you stand at the foot of Mount Sinai, it's too big of a mountain for you and I to climb. It just says you're damned. But Sinai is not silent. It is through the law the gospel speaks. And Sinai says, look, there's another mountain. Flee to Zion. Flee to Christ. The law does not save. Sinai does not save. But it shows us the one who can. And he stands atop Zion's hill with a blood-stained cross saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't stay at the base of Mount Sinai. Go to God through Zion. And it is through the bad news of Sinai, where we hear the law, we are left undone. A holy God and the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. Hear the good news of Zion, that Christ has done it all. And it's by faith in him. And when we grasp the realities of the law, we will see the glory of the gospel. And our only response is reverence and awe and worship of the God who is a consuming fire. And that's the tale of two mountains. One says doomed. The other says done. And all those who've come to Mount Zion, you've received a kingdom that is unshakable. And so your response is to offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And I'll end with a hymn. I won't sing it. End with a hymn titled, But Ye Come to Mount Zion. Ye sons of God, be wise and learn your Father's will. By faith, lift up your eyes to yonder shining hill. No smoke, no thunderbolts are there, nor wrath to sink you in despair. A pleasant mount indeed, where God unfolds his grace to all the chosen seed, and with a smiling face speaks peace to every troubled breast and bids the weary in him rest. To worship on this ground is not a legal task. A solid peace is found, and faith is all it asks. There Jesus sits with a smiling face and rules and reigns the God of grace. Let us look to Mount Zion and Calvary's Hill.
Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.